Amen. As we continue with our lessons on the joy of being a Christian, looking at and understanding the importance of rejoicing, as the scripture reference was read from Philippians chapter 4, keying in on verses 4 through 6, as we understand that we need to rejoice in order to be or to show our thankfulness to God for all that He has done for us. Amen. The reading again, Philippians 4, starting with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We have looked at the idea, the question, why should Christians rejoice? Why should Christians rejoice? And number two, why don't some Christians rejoice? And here's the reasons why we should. Because it gives us peace. It gives us hope. It gives us a reward. It gives us that idea of our reward not being taken away from us. Knowing that when we're there in eternity, that there will be no tears because it's eternal rest, and death becomes a blessing. When we can understand that, then we should be able to rejoice. But there are some things that cause us not to rejoice. And one of the biggest things that cause us not to rejoice is because of something that we have done. We have committed sin. And it's hard to rejoice when you are caught up in iniquity. You can pray to God all day long, but you know that your life is not in order. It's hard for you to rejoice before Him and most definitely before others. Busybodies, if you're always in someone else's business, you do not have time to rejoice because you're always in someone else's business. So stop being in other people's business and get into your business, and the business of yours should be the business of the Lord's, and that is to serve Him. So let's make sure we do those things. Those that do not obey the elders, it's hard for them to rejoice because they're trying to figure out, how can I continue to be disobedient? And they're doing a good job of that as well, so therefore they're not going to rejoice. In a divided heart, James says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. It's hard to rejoice when you're double-minded. You have no idea whether you're coming or going. You go into the kitchen to get a glass of water and you forget while you're there. Go back into the next room and still forget what you're supposed to be doing. But it's hard to rejoice when you have a divided heart, when you think that you can follow the ways of the world and follow God all at the same time. It is impossible to do. And the materialism, the things of this world, the cares of this world, we get caught up with them, and it's hard for us to rejoice. We allow Satan to steal our joy. Actually, we relinquish it over to him. And so we need to do what we're supposed to in order to stay strong, to stay faithful, and continue to rejoice in the Lord. Joy of being a Christian. Again, why should Christians rejoice? We looked at those, the scriptures. I know I gave them quickly there. And then we find, why don't some Christians rejoice? And then this evening, we're looking at what will help Christians rejoice. What will help Christians rejoice? And we need some help, don't we?
Amen.
We need some help. And Amen. The things that we're going to look at on this evening, you need to take them to heart, and you need to do them. Because again, we all struggle from time to time rejoicing. I said, well, what's wrong with you? You know, why are you not happy? I don't have anything to be happy about. You have to go back and look at your life and find out what is really going on. Why you don't have anything to be happy about? Is it because you don't have all those material things that everyone else has? You really don't need those things.
Amen.
All we really need is Christ. We need God. We need to be living the way God wants us to do and doing those things, and you will be able to rejoice. But what will help us rejoice? First, we find that faith will help us rejoice in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 and the verses 5. Faith will help us rejoice. And we need to have faith. We need to know that understanding that when we look at the scriptures and understand what God wants us to do, that faith is the basis of these things. So we look and starting actually in verse 3, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has called us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept, the Bible says, in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Faith. Knowing that there is something that waits us. You have not seen it, but you have faith that is there. God has promised it to us, and we know that he's not slack concerning his promises, that some men count slackness. So therefore, let's hold on to this. This is a reason to rejoice. This will help you to rejoice if you just hold on and realize that God has something for you. Once again, verse 5, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Are you willing to allow faith to help you rejoice? Are you willing? Ephesians chapter 2 and the verse is 8. Ephesians 2 and the verse is 8. Remember that the Gentiles at one time, they were alienated away from God, from the commonwealth. They were not partakers of God's divine, you know, blessings that he was giving to the children of Israel. But now we know that we have those blessings in Christ Jesus. He tells us there in Ephesians chapter 2 and the verse is 8. For by grace you have been saved. Through faith, you have been saved. And help us to rejoice. Help those that are outside of Christ to realize that they can rejoice if they would only come to God. If they would do the things that God wants them to do, they will be able to rejoice. See, the world, they have problems. And the problem is that they are without God. They do not have Christ in their lives. They're not filled with the Spirit. So therefore, it's hard for them to rejoice. Happy one day, sad the next, happy the next day, mad the next. All sorts of things happen in your life. And they wonder, why are these things happening to me? Because you're away from God. You're away from his word. But it says we are saved, for by grace you have been saved through faith. We need to understand that you have to access that grace. You know, it's free. But you have to access it. And that's what a lot of people do not understand, how to access that grace. And we went through those things this morning on how to become a child of God. Then you find using the scriptures will help us to rejoice. And there are many people, again, they're not able to rejoice because they're not using God's word. They're not looking into the perfect law of liberty. They're not doing the things that God wants them to do. But if you will continue to study, you will be able to look at God's word, and you will be able to use God's word, and you will be able to rejoice. When someone asks you a question, you may not be able to give them that answer right away, but tell them, give me just a little bit of time, and I'll go and I'll get you that answer. Do not let them down. You go and you research and you find that answer and you take it back to them, and you will be able to rejoice, not necessarily in yourself, but being able to rejoice in God's word. The Bible says here in Hebrews chapter 5 and the verses 14, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have the powers of discernment, trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. How do we know what's good? How do we know what's evil? By looking at God's word. Because if it was left up to man, that wouldn't be anything that wasn't good. We would do all sorts of things and say, it's okay. But since we have God's word, we know what's good and we know what's bad. And we have to continue to do it. But those individuals, once again, that are not mature, they need that milk. They need that milk. And then sometimes they're not able to rejoice. They get mad at themselves, and very rightly so they should, because Paul tells them, by now you ought to be teachers, but you need someone to teach you. Hard for them to rejoice. when a simple question is asked and they're unable to give the answer. So we have to search the scriptures. We have to know the scriptures. And we have to be able to discern, again, trained by constant practice, to distinguish good and evil, or good and bad. Have to be able to distinguish between those things. Let's use the scriptures. Let's use the scriptures. Then humility in James chapter 4 and the verses 10. James chapter 4 and the verses 10. We have to be humble. Oh, we cannot be puffed up. We cannot exalt ourselves, but we have to have humility about us in order for us to be able to exalt, to be able to rejoice. If you do not have humility about you, if you are so puffed up, trust that God one day will knock you down. And then you will realize it's not about me. It's about God. Then, only then, will you be able to rejoice. James chapter 4 in the verses 10. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will exalt you. He didn't say you humble yourselves before God and you will be able to exalt yourself. No, He said He will exalt you. And so we need to do that. We need to humble ourselves before God and realize that one day He will exalt us. People will look at us and they will say some good things about us, and then others will look at us and they'll say some bad things about us. That's okay, because God is still exalting us. He is putting us where He wants us to be, and we need to say thank you, God, for doing that. And we need to understand once again that there are many things that man try to do that man just do not understand, that he is going in the wrong direction. Jeremiah chapter 10 in the verses 23. Jeremiah 10 in the verses 23. Jeremiah says here, he says, I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself, that it is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. He has no idea which direction to go. If it were left up to us, where would we be right now? Many of us would be at home. But since God says, assemble yourselves together, we're here. We're here to exalt one another. We're here to encourage one another. We're here to focus on what God wants us to do in order for us to be able to rejoice. Oh, we should be thankful. Tomorrow when we go to work, when you go to your job and someone asks you, what did you do on yesterday? And some will, when you've heard me say before, some will under their breath tell, oh, I went to worship service. And you ask them, what did they do? Man, we had a party and we had a good time. What did you say you did again? You went where? You mean to tell me you didn't have any joy in going to worship service? Because I know that's where you went, because I know you. A lot of times what we're doing is we're putting on a good front. You're sitting here worshiping God right now, but I want to ask this question. Is your worship acceptable to Him? Are you really humbling yourselves before Him in order for Him to lift you up? Somebody somewhere is looking at what you're doing, but if you're going down the wrong path, you're not following God's word, know once again, as Jeremiah said, I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself, that it is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. So if we follow after God, we're going in the right direction. Amen. But when we start turning and going after the world, we're going in the wrong direction. We're going in the wrong direction. So let's quit leaving it up to self and start looking at what God wants us to do and do those things. We find that delight in worship. Delight in worship. How many of us really enjoy coming to worship? I know if we ask this question to some kids, they'll say, I'd much rather be home playing on my game system. I'd much rather be home looking at something on television. I'd much rather be home doing this or doing that. You know, we can say that about a whole lot of kids, but I know one young man that his mama couldn't make him stay home when he was feeling bad. He was, I'm going to worship service. That's Brother Malachi. Hate to point him out like that, but he's used to it by now. I want us to understand the importance of coming to worship God. Coming to focus on Him and do the things that He wants us to do in order that we may be pleasing and acceptable in His sight. In the book of Isaiah, the chapter 58, verses 13 and 14. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure of my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight and a holy day of the Lord honorable. If you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly. Then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now he's talking to the children of Israel right there, but I want us to understand something. We need to delight in worshiping God on today. We need to be excited about getting up on Sunday morning and being able to get dressed and come to worship a living God. We need to be excited about that. I know that there are some people, Anita was messing with me earlier as I was walking down the aisle after I finished talking to Sister Betsy, and I was dragging my feet. She said, "Why are you dragging my feet?" I said, "I got a lot on my mind." And kept on walking. I think I picked up the pace just a little bit. But that's the way some people come in worship service. They come in dragging their feet. They come in and sit down and they have a frown upon their face. They get up and let me take off my glasses so I can look at your faces. Sometimes when I take them off and I can see you and I say something, you start frowning. I don't care. But that's you. And then you leave here dragging your feet. Where is the delight in worshiping God? Amen. If someone tells you something that you need to change, change it. Be glad that they told you. If someone tells you something that you're doing this good, oh, you're willing to accept that? Yes, thank you. Appreciate you. But when it's something that's going to step on our toes, we don't want to hear it. But we should delight in worshiping God, because this is where we come together. This is the dressing up room. This is the room where we prepare ourselves in order to go out there into a lost and dying world and try to bring someone else in so that they may delight in worshiping God as well. We need to do those things. This will cause us to rejoice. This will help us to rejoice when we come together to worship God in spirit and in truth. Obedience unto God. Obedience unto God. Solomon the preacher, he said, you know, let's listen here in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. You know, a lot of times we don't want to hear the end of the story. You know, Paul Harvey is dead right now. You remember he used to come on, he used to tell you something, then he'll come back on and say, now the rest of the story. We don't want to hear the conclusion. But the conclusion, the preacher tells us, the conclusion of man, the whole duty of man is to fear God and to keep his commandments. Why does he say that? He says that for a very specific reason. That the whole duty of man is to fear God and to keep his commandments. Verse 14. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or bad. I have a secret. You want to hear it? You know, a lot of times we're very careful about who we tell secrets to, whether it's good or whether it's bad. We're you know, like, I don't know if I can trust you or not. But you may have a secret. You may be doing something that no one else knows about, but somebody knows. And you're going to be judged according to what you're doing. If it's something good you're doing, you know, behind the scenes, keep doing those things, for God is going to reward you for those things. But if it's something bad you're doing behind the scenes, you need to stop. You need to stop. Because God sees those things and God is going to judge you accordingly. Those things are bad before God. And trust me, one day your sins will find you out. In the book of 1 John chapter 5 in the verses 3. 1 John chapter 5 in the verses 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. They're not grievous. They're not too hard to bear. So we need to keep the commandments. We need to love him and we need to keep his commandments. And I'm not talking about the Ten Commandments. I'm talking about the commandments that God has given you and I in order to have eternal life, in order to have salvation today and tomorrow, in this life, in the life to come, to have salvation. If we keep the commandments of God, are you willing to keep the commandments? Are you willing to do what God wants you to do? And then there are those that, you know, when we start talking about keeping the commandments, there are those that go back to the Ten Commandments and say, keep those and everything will be all right. Trust me, those people really don't have anything to rejoice about. Amen. Because the children of Israel were unable to rejoice because of the commandments that God had given them. It was a heavy yoke upon them. Right. A heavy yoke upon them. Amen. So let us rejoice in being obedient unto God. This will help us to rejoice. You know, a man that tells a lie, he has nothing to rejoice about. Why? Because if you go and ask him what he said, he's got to think about what he said. And then he's going to make up another lie if he can't think of it. So what does he have to rejoice about? He's disobedient. He is disobedient. But the man that's obedient, he has something to rejoice about. And we find in Matthew chapter 28 in the verses 20, this most definitely right here is something to rejoice about. As Jesus told his disciples there when he gave them that great commission to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And he says right there in verse 20, and lo, I am with you always. Always. You know, that is a long time, is it not? It's just like forever. That's a long time. That means that Christ will always be there. What about you? Are you willing to have him there? Or are you willing to submit to him? Are you willing to allow these things to help you rejoice? You know, we have Christ in this life. We can have Christ in the life to come. If we would only do what we're supposed to, because he said, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. The end of the world, I will be with you. Do what you're supposed to do. Christ provides our needs. In Philippians chapter 4, in the verses 13, he supplies our needs. You know, you're a child of God. There's nothing that you should want for. Nothing you should want for. You know, we get calls, several calls, many calls, people wanting something. And the question that we ask them sometimes, where do you attend worship? What group are you a part of? And if you are a child of God, those individuals where you worship should help you. If they're really doing what they're supposed to do. Because we go back to Matthew 6:33, where it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I'm a child of God. Christ provides our needs. It says there, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right. Are you willing to accept that? Or are you willing to believe that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you? If you don't believe that, then you have nothing to rejoice about. You're doubting. You're like that double-minded man that James was talking about. You have nothing to rejoice about, but we want to rejoice. These things will help you rejoice. But you know what we have? We have those people that say, I don't need any help. I can do it all by myself. Have you ever been that person? Have you ever seen that person? You know, you're trying to teach a child how to tie a shoe, and he says, I can do it all by myself. And you say, okay, do it. You turn your back, and then you look back around, his shoe is still untied, but he can do it all by himself. He needs some help. He needs some help. One of my boys, I can't remember which one it was, Chris or Tim, taught himself how to ride a bicycle. Lie, lie, lie. He did not do it by himself. He needed some help. Do we not need God's help? Do we not need Christ's help? Do we not need what the Spirit has left us? We need these things. We cannot survive without them. So Christ provides our needs. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Without him, basically you can do nothing. You can do nothing. So we need him. We need him. Help others find their way. Help others find their way. The gospel need to be taught. The gospel need to be spread. We need to go out there and we need to look for those that are lost. We need to go out there and we need to look for them and we need to bring them back home. We need to plant that seed and we need to water that seed and God will give the increase of that seed. We need to go out into a lost and dying world. And when you go out there and help someone else, it allows you to rejoice. But when that neighbor has died, and you think I did not go over and talk to them? Oh, it's going to bring you down. When that family member has died and you did not tell them about God, you did not tell them about Christ, you did not tell them about the one church, you have nothing to rejoice about. You're living with regret, but I want you to understand something. You cannot go and change that, but you can ask God to forgive you for not doing what you were supposed to do, and you can start. You can start. Today is not too late. Yesterday's gone, cannot change that. Tomorrow is not promised, don't have no idea what's going to happen. Do it today. Do it today. What will help us rejoice? What will help us rejoice? When we think about all these things, faith, using the scriptures, humility, delight in worship, obedience, Christ is always with us. Christ provides our needs. Help others find their way. When we look at all of these things, we need to understand that without love, none of these things really matter. None of them really matter. So we need to have love. The love for God, the love for His Word, the love for others, and the love for self. Do what is right. The greatest commandment is what? Love the Lord your God.
Amen.
With all your heart, with all your body, with all your soul. Love Him. And He said the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. We need to do what is right. We need to be able to wake up in the morning to rejoice. Or let me say, we need to be able to rejoice right now. Lay down rejoicing. And if we wake up, to be able to rejoice that you have another day to do what you're supposed to do, to be pleasing and accepting in the sight of the Lord. If you're here and you're not a child of God, don't let what we said today hinder you from becoming one, but let it encourage you to become one. Because there is something to rejoice about. You know, there's those people that say, man, you know, I really want to become a Christian, but once I become a Christian, there are some things that I can't do. Maybe you need to think that there are some things that you shouldn't be doing anyway. You should be willing to become a child of God so that you do not have to look for God when you get into trouble. You already have Him. And you do not have to be baptized, but all you have to do is ask for forgiveness. But for that man that gets himself into trouble and then start looking for God, sometimes it's too late. Sometimes it's too late. You have nothing to rejoice about. Your home will be in a place that was prepared for Satan and his angels. We need to turn to God today. And we need to be able to submit to Him and say that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, be immersed in the watery grave of baptism, rising to walk a newness of life. Be as the eunuch did. When he came up out of that water, the Bible says he came out rejoicing. Came out rejoicing. And along that Christian walk, if something happened that you quit rejoicing, go back and do an inventory. Go back and do a self-examination and find out why did you quit rejoicing. You know, you hear people say that Satan stole my joy. If you leave the door wide open, yes, he will. If you don't lock your car, yes, he will steal something that's there. But a lot of times it's not what he has done, it's what we have done. We give it to him freely. If man didn't give it to us, man should not be able to take it away from us. But we give it to him. We allow people to make our day. Do not allow that to happen. If you wake up on the wrong side of the bed, I say, you know, look at your bed. And if you wake up on the wrong side, you need to push that side that you got up on up against the wall so you can't get out on that side anymore. Only one side. There is only one way to Christ. And that is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To the Father, and that is through the Son. So let us do what's right. Maybe you're here and you're straight away from the fold. We're asking you to come back. We're asking you to come to confess your faults. If it's something that you need to confess to someone else, get it right with them so that God may be able to forgive you as well and you may be able to rejoice once again. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.